There's a bumper sticker that says, life is too precious to waste. But how do you do that? How do you prevent wasting your life? Well, the Bible tells us, look at Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. Please read it with me together out loud from your notes. Be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Circle the word there, be careful. It says be careful how you live. What's the opposite of being careful? Being careless. It says don't be careless. Literally the Greek word say don't stumble through life. Don't drift through life. Think it through. Know what you're here for. Know your purpose. It says there, make the most of every opportunity. So be wise. Then it says, try to understand what God wants you to do. Circle that phrase, try to understand what God wants to do. If I would ask you to be honest, how many of you would say you really, really want to know what God wants you to do with your life? I think most of us would. The Bible says, but don't be foolish, be wise. Know what God wants you to do with your life. So we're going to look at what God has created you for. It's going to be a good journey. Today I want you to think about three important questions of life. I have them printed on your sermon notes. Number one, what does God want? Number two, what does it take? And number three, why? Why should I do it? If you'd boil your life down, these are three very important questions. So let's look at question number one. What does God want? What does God want from my life? When you read through the Bible, you can summarize it in a couple words. In fact, write it down. God wants my whole life. Yeah, God wants my whole life, entire life. It's not a single verse in the Bible, not one, that says that you can be a Christian and live your life any way you want. It's just not there. God wants all of you. He doesn't want 10%, he doesn't want 50%, he doesn't want 90%. God wants your whole life. Now, God is very clear about this. There's no mystery. So look at what the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 13. Give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life. Use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Circle the word there completely, and also circle the words your whole body. It should be all of you. C.S. Lewis once said in your notes, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Christianity cannot be moderately important. If it's really true, it deserves everything you got. And if it's not true, then you shouldn't even be here. It's either all or nothing. There are still a lot of people who are trying to sit on the fence because they say, well, I don't really know what God wants me to do. Well, look at Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. This is what the Lord your God wants you to do. Respect the Lord. Do what he has told you to do. Love him. Serve the Lord your God with your whole being. There are those words again, your whole being. See, a lot of people try to sit on the fence. They say, well, I'll serve God with my spare time. Sort of like I have this piece, this pie. In this pie, I have a piece for my social life. I have a piece for my career life, my family life. Over here is my retirement life. Over here is my spiritual life. As if your spiritual life is only one part of the pie. That's all wrong. Now, in your notes, God is divided. Life is divided like pieces of a pie, but the whole pie belongs to God. God wants the whole pie to be under his control. God doesn't want to be pigeonholed. And you say, well, God, I'll give you 10%. God wants it all. God wants your whole being. So there's a myth that says that you can have it all and you can do it all, but you can't. You have to give it all to God. So look at Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, Jesus said. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So circle the word cannot. God does not say you should not serve him and money. He says you can't. It's impossible. What is he talking about? In your notes, God is saying that you cannot have two number ones in your life. You cannot have two number one priorities in your life. You're always going to have a number one, and everything else is going to be either two, three, or four, or five. You cannot have two number ones. Now, there are a lot of things besides money that can certainly push God out of first place in your life. Your work can push God out of first place. And sports and hobbies can push God out of first place. Dating certainly can push God out. God is saying you cannot serve him and something else at the same time. Anytime you have something in your life that is number one and it's not God, God calls that an idol. God says that's wrong. He says, I want to be number one in your life before everything else. I will bring it all back into perspective. I'll put it together for you. So look at Proverbs 3, verse 9. In everything you do, put God first. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Have you been trying to live a part-time Christian life? The first question of your life is, what does God want? God wants all of you. Anytime you sit on the fence, you lose. So God wants all of you. Question number two, what does it take? What does it take to become all that God wants me to be? I'm going to say a word, but it's a word that you're not going to like a lot of times. It's a very unpopular word. In fact, we kind of cringe when I speak of this word. We really do not like it. In your notes is a word called discipline. A groan went across the land. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 17. Whoever practices discipline is on the way to life. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus without discipline. So in your notes, the word disciple goes with the word discipline. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy. Train yourself toward godliness. Keep keeping yourself spiritually fit. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, what is discipline? In your notes, discipline is delayed gratification. Discipline is doing the difficult now in order to enjoy the benefit later. Discipline is delayed gratification. Now, some of you don't even need this definition. You're incredibly disciplined. Do you know where you are disciplined at, though? In the areas that you want to be. In the things that are important to you. You get it done. What if you were as disciplined in a daily quiet time as you are in never missing a meal? What if you were disciplined in serving others as you are in getting up and going to work every day for yourself? What if you were disciplined in attending church as you are in watching your favorite sports show? There's another word for discipline. We like this one a little bit better. I'll give you permission to use it. It's the word habit. Yeah, in your notes. Discipline is also a good habit. Habits are simply discipline. Tell me what you do habitually, and I'll tell you what your character is like. If you habitually tell the truth, then you have integrity. If you are habitually faithful to your spouse, you are a faithful person. It is what you do over and over and over without even thinking. It is a habit. It's a part of your life. Your whole life is designed and shaped and controlled by your habits. If you want to change your life, all you have to do is change what? Your habits. So Paul is saying to Timothy, there are exercises you can do that will keep you spiritually fit, just like there are exercises you can do to keep yourself physically fit. So let me give you two exercises for spiritual fitness. In your notes, number one is the discipline of letting go. That means that you let go of things simply because you cannot keep adding more and more things to your schedule. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. We read that verse together. out loud from your notes. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin so easily hinders our progress. Circle the word weight and the word sin. Those are two things that will hold you back. These are two things that keep you from being what God wants you to be. There are two things that limit your potential. God says you've got to let go of these things. You know what sin is? Of course, breaking God's law and God's commandment. But what is a weight? A weight is something that is not necessarily wrong, but it's just not necessary. It can be an expectation, an activity, a memory that refuses to go away. It can be a fear. It can be your job. There are 100,000 different types of weights. The Bible says, in order to grow spiritually, I must learn to say no. You have to say no to things that, so you can say yes to the best things. If you're going to make space for God in your life, fulfilling His purpose for you, then you've got to get rid of some of the stuff, even if it's some good stuff. So in growing spiritually fit, we're asking you to add three habits to your schedule for a few weeks. The first is the habit is reading 10 to 15 minutes daily, a devotional reading from the Bible, because it will help you understand God's purpose for your life. The second is to meet weekly in a Bible class. That will help you understand God's purpose for your life. And the third is to memorize a Bible verse, a very short one that will help, just take a few minutes. I want to tell you right up front, some of you really need the discipline of letting go. Letting go of some of the stuff in your life. Your life is simply too crowded. If you don't have time for some of the good disciplines, some good spiritual exercise, then you've got a problem. The second discipline in your notes, number two, is the discipline of putting first things first. And asking you to commit to some spiritual exercise, I want you to consider the discipline of just putting first things first. And we have that in Luke 10, verses 40 to 42. But Martha was distracted with much serving. So she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve you alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." See, the Bible says that Martha was distracted by many things. Do any of you identify with that phrase? Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Martha had in your notes spiritual ADD. She was distracted by her many tasks. Jesus said, there's a need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is saying that it comes down to spending time with me and washing the dishes. There's no competition. And if your life is so busy that you don't have time to stop, to focus on God, focus on His Word. And you notice the average person today lives 25,550 days. That's what the average person lives. Don't you think it would be good, smart living to take a few of those 25,000 days to figure out what you might be doing best with the rest of your life? There are many tasks that are distracting, but not every task is of equal value. Just look at Psalm 39, verse 6. All you are busy rushing ends up where? In nothing. We should put that on our dashboards on our car. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 27. Reverence for the Lord adds what? Hours to each day. You want to have more time? Here's a secret. Put God first. Reverence the Lord. So look at Philippians 2, verse 13. God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey Him, His purpose. It is God who gives you the desire, God who gives you the willpower, and not by your own might and not by your own power. It's by the Spirit. So you must let things go. Put first things first. Two habits. And God promises to walk closer to you. God will do amazing things in your life, in you and through you. And there's question number three in your notes. Why should I do it? Why should I make effort to grow spiritually? Why should I let go of some things to make time for God? Well, there may be many, many benefits, but even if there were no other benefits than these, there's still one reason why you should. It's in your notes, the cross. Looking just at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. See, Jesus died for every one of us. Jesus gave his life for every one of us on the cross. Jesus loves you enough to die for you and offer you forgiveness. He died so that we no longer should live lives just for ourselves. We live our lives for him. Jesus has a purpose for our lives. It cannot be matched by anything we could dream up. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 7. For by the sacrificial death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God. So in Holy Communion today, we receive the kindness, God's love, and God's forgiveness. We say, thank you. Thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you, we affirm your love for us. We trust you. So in conclusion, look at Romans 12, verse 1. So then, my brothers, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service, pleasing to him. This is true worship that you should offer. See, it cost Jesus to die for you and for me. It's going to cost you something to live for him. But he deserves it. Because of the cross, you will live forever. You owe Jesus your life. So I'm going to invite you to pray during the next 2 months, September and October, what I call the 5-5-5 prayer. To pray for 5 people, to pray for 5 minutes, and at 5 o'clock each day. So write down the names of 5 people that you're going to be praying for that need to know Jesus better. People who matter to God. I share with you my personal mission statement. Only one life to live, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us pray. Father, we already know you're going to do amazing things as your people gather together for worship and Bible study. Lives will be changed, friendships will be made, hearts will be healed. So help us all to let things go, put first things first, during this time of commitment and spiritual growth. May your word then take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, as it did in Thessalonica. Pray for 5 people daily. Pray at 5 o'clock daily. And pray for 5 people that need to know Jesus.